भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Arigato
Dhadhyam
Ashvibhyam
Brahmanishkalam
Yad
Va
Aishvashira
Nama
Tayor
Amartam
Vyadat
Sava
Adigato
Dhyayan
Ashvibhyam Brahmanishkalam
Yadva Ashvashiro
Nama
Tayor Amaratam
Vyadat
Sava Adigato
Dhyayan
Ashvibhyam
Brahmanishkalam
Yadva Ashvashiro
Nama
Tayor Amaratam
Vyadat
Sava Adigato
Dhyayan
Ashvibhyam Brahmanishkalam
Yadva
Ashvashiro Nama
Tayor Amaratam
Vyadat
Saha
Hi
Va
Certainly
Adigata,
having obtained,
Dadyan,
Dadyancha,
Ashvibhyam,
to the two Ashvini Kumaras,
Brahma,
spiritual knowledge,
Nishkalam,
pure,
Yadva,
by which,
Ashvashira,
Ashvashira,
Nama,
name,
Tayoh,
of the two,
Amaratam,
liberation in one's life,
Vyadat,
awarded.
Translation.
That saintly Dadyancha, who is also known as Dadichi,
personally assimilated the spiritual science
and then delivered it to the Ashvini Kumaras.
It is said that Dadyancha gave them mantras through the head of a horse.
Therefore, the mantras are called Ashvashira,
after obtaining the mantras of spiritual science from Dadichi.
The Ashvini Kumaras became Jivan Mukta, liberated even in this life.
Purport.
The following story is narrated by many acharyas in their commentaries.
The great saint Dadichi had perfect knowledge of how to perform fruitive activities,
and he had advanced spiritual knowledge as well.
Knowing this, the Ashvini Kumaras once approached him and begged him to instruct them in spiritual science,
Brahma Vidya.
Dadichi Muni replied, "I am now engaged in arranging sacrifices for fruitive activities. Come back sometime later."
When the Ashvini Kumaras left, Indra, the king of heaven, approached Dadichi and said,
"My dear Muni, the Ashvini Kumaras are only physicians. Please do not instruct them in spiritual science.
If you impart the science, spiritual science, to them, despite my warning, I shall punish you by cutting off your head."
After warning Dadichi in this way, Indra returned to heaven.
The Ashvini Kumaras, who understood Indra's desire, returned and begged Dadichi for Brahma Vidya.
When the great saint Dadichi informed them of Indra's threat, the Ashwini Kumaras replied, "Let us first cut off your head and replace it with the head of a horse. You can instruct Brahmavidya through the horse's head, and when Indra returns and cuts off that head, we shall reward you and restore your original head." Since Dadichi had promised to impart Brahmavidya to the Ashwini Kumaras, he agreed to their proposal. Therefore, because Dadichi imparted Brahmavidya through the mouth of a horse, this Brahmavidya is known as Ashvashira. So here, then, the Lord is going on instructing the demigods in how to fulfill their desire. Their desire is that they want to free themselves from material difficulties, material problems. And they have approached the Lord. So this is best. One has material desire, it's best to go to the Lord. But, as the Lord Himself explains, better than approaching the Lord for material desire, that we approach the Lord for spiritual desire. And then by this approach, then the Lord being pleased, we will also develop in our spiritual life. So this is the proper mentality. But we see that the demigods did not have this realization, this understanding. They were too absorbed in their material activities to be able to appreciate the spiritual direction. So it's very interesting to note that this Dadichi Muni is the same one that before Indra is basically insulted by saying that if you preach spiritual knowledge, then I will cut off your head. And not only that, then it is from Dadichi that this Narayana Kavacha has been given to Tvashta, who gave it to Vishwarup, who then gave it to Indra. So in other words, how Indra was able to protect himself for doing this sacrifice, and how he'll be able to protect himself in his fight with Vishwarup, Vritrasura, is by the blessing of Dadichi. And that knowledge that he himself should have, he forbade Dadichi to give to others. It would have been better if he had come to Dadichi and had asked him, "I heard you're going to teach the Ashwini Kumara's spiritual knowledge, so can you also teach me?" But instead he said, "They're just physicians, so you shouldn't teach them." Right? And only topmost elevated people should know. They're physicians, why they should know. Okay, maybe Bhrigu knows these things, maybe some others, Brahma knows, but why they should know. So he's very much caught up in this prestige. And so we say it's very interesting that Krishna has, through the same person, is saying that this is how you're going to fulfill your material desire. So it's very, very interesting on Krishna's part. Krishna does these kind of things a lot. Because we have some ideas, some difficulties, and Krishna, through those mediums, he gets the work done. This is the, just like we've been in the material world for so long. And then using our intelligence and our senses and mind for our own activities. Now, if we want to get out of here, then Krishna does not have one of Indra's thunderbolts coming from Dadichi hit you on the head and you become self-realized. But he makes you use that mind, senses, and intelligence in his service, and this way we purify ourselves. So he's very clever. We've worked in this way to our disadvantage, now we're going to work in the same way to our advantage. Right? It's very easy to give up. Like Arjuna. Arjuna had this idea. Okay, I'm out here, I'm fighting, I'm doing all these things for my own prestige of our family, to get revenge, you know, for what has been happened to our wife, for all the bad years of dealing with us improperly. So, okay, now I have to be more intelligent and take up spiritual life, so I will give up all this fighting and all this, you know, different activities that I'm doing that is based on my own desire. But Krishna says, no, you're going to do these same things, but now you're going to do them for me. So he's bewildered. He thought, well, I thought spiritual life is, you know, something else. You know, it's like, you know, material life, I walk on my feet, you know, so spiritual life means I stand on my head. You know, something like this. It's got to be something different. Right? Because I am accustomed to seeing differences. Right? So therefore, I want to see spiritual life as something different. Right? The materialist sees this is good, this is bad. Everything's duality. Everything's seen through the material nature. So spiritual must mean it's not like that, right? There's no form, there's no taste, touch, smell, you know, all these different things. So that's different. So that's what I'm looking for. But no, they're seeing the same thing, but without the duality. Right? The great sage, they see with equal vision, the Brahman, the cow, the dog eater. They see them all as coming from Krishna, all as Krishna's servant, all manifesting different aspects of Krishna's energy. So everything is Krishna. So therefore, it is very natural that one sees according to the scriptures and the teachings of the Acharyas how things are. Then one doesn't see the duality. This activity is good, this one's bad, according to our own liking and disliking, but this is good for Krishna, so I do it. So this becomes a very interesting point. So here we see another aspect is that the Krishna has told them that they're going to approach Dadichi, and he's going to solve the problems. Now, Dadichi, he knows the fruit of activities. So he's able to relate to their position, and they feel comfortable with him. But he knows the spiritual knowledge. So they're going to solve their problem by his understanding of spiritual knowledge. Because of this, he has become strong. Right? The demigods feel they are not strong enough. They have used their weaponry, and by use of their weapons, they were not able to defeat the demons. So now they're going to use his spiritual potency to defeat the demon. So then here is also shown, as Indra was showing his power with Dadichi. I am king of heaven, you don't listen to me, see what I do. But then when it comes down to real show of strength, right, it's very easy. Kshatriya can come along and cut off the head of a Brahmin sitting in meditation. You know, it's very, very noble, right? Very valiant. So this is also a slap in the face to Indra, the noble, valiant Kshatriya, who is so powerful. When he actually comes to the real thing, he has to get his power from the same Brahma. And how did he get it? By spiritual strength, not by ritualistic activities. Indra got his strength by performing 100 Ashwamedha yajnas, which means horse sacrifices. In the horse sacrifice, one of the first things that is done in the beginning of the sacrifice is cut off the horse's head. So now Indra is very expert at cutting off horses' heads. He's done it 100 times. Actually, if we check, he's done it 101 times, because Dadichi had the head of a horse when he cut his head off. So since he has the nature to cut off horses' heads, therefore it was arranged by the Lord that he had a horse's head when he cut it off. So he is thinking, yes, my strength has come from this. But Dadichi knows the rituals of himself. So he's just as expert. But he's not interested in the fruits of all these activities. He arranges them for other people. He himself is not interested. So what really is important is Dadichi's spiritual strength, his spiritual potency. And that is what is being going to make the thunderbolt that is going to make the demigods or Indra successful, or at least seemingly successful. As the story unfolds, we'll see that
even the thunderbolt, you know, didn't actually do the work. The Dhritarasura, he just left on his own. He wasn't about to stick around for Indra to take 1 year to cut his head off. He decided, well, you know, it's the Lord's arrangement, so then I will, you know, his father had chanted the mantra improperly. And since Indra is, you know, accustomed to cutting off heads and that, you know, let him do his work. He can work at it for 1 year. Like that, he'll leave. Why he should stay, you know? He's cut off Dadichi's head, he's cut off his brother's head. You know, he might as well cut off my head. You know, that's the big deal. So Indra then feels that from 100 Ashwamedha yagyas, now he has the right to cut off heads. So then, being a, you know, compassionate devotee, then he says, okay, let him do what he thinks makes him feel good, right? Like that. So, here. So that spiritual knowledge that was given, that the Ashwini Kumaras became Jivan Mukta. So in that same lifetime, they became freed from material contamination. So this is also a very interesting point, is that in this lifetime, this is an example that someone becomes transcendentally situated in one lifetime. They were physicians, not knowing they were demigods. Prabhupada mentioned in previous chapters that the demigods neophyte because they've come to the Lord for material blessings. And he says a Brahmin is one who comes to the Lord for spiritual knowledge, spiritual understanding. One wants to know Krishna, one's relationship with Krishna. So this is the difference. You have a Brahmana, one who wants to know Brahma Vidya. Brahmana means one who knows Brahman. So one who wants to know about Brahman, that is a Brahman. And those who don't, then they are called Kripanas. And they fit into all these other categories. So anyone who wants to know about the Lord, they are a Brahman. Anyone who doesn't, they are Kripana. So this is the definition. So they wanted to know this, they received the knowledge, and by understanding and practicing, they became self-realized. So this is inspiration for us that we can hear this knowledge and we can also become self-realized in this lifetime. We take it very seriously. Another aspect is that he spoke to them with the head of a horse. So Hayagriva, who is the source of knowledge, right? From Hayagriva, all the knowledge, all the Vedas are coming. So in this form, it's very natural then to speak the transcendental science, the essence of all the Vedic knowledge. Then if it's done with the head of a horse, then that is very fitting. It fits very nicely. So we can see that the Lord gets many, many things done in one simple activity. Like that. So here we can see many aspects are there. Any questions on this? Why was it fitting for him to have a horse's head? Because Hayagriva, who is in the form of a horse's head, he speaks the Vedas. So then it's very natural to give it. Because the essence of the Vedas is the transcendental knowledge. All the other knowledge is there to connect the material world to the spiritual knowledge. That's actually what the knowledge is for. Is that all the Vedic knowledge, other than transcendental knowledge, is all material. It's dealing with the material world. So its purpose is to connect the material knowledge with the Lord. That's actually the purpose of it. That's called aparavidya. It means that knowledge which is in support of transcendental knowledge. Because the first thing it does is give the transcendental conclusions. Its source, where it's from, it's come from the Lord, how it's descended, in which way it has come, and how the application is for use in the Lord's service. Then after that, they get into the technical details of the particular body of knowledge. So avidya means it just gives the technical body of knowledge. That's called avidya. Because it's ignorance. Even though it's knowledge as we would
call it, it's used by the intelligence, so we can get things done with it. The result of it is it binds us to the material world. Therefore, it's called avidya, or ignorance. Intelligence means we are want to know Krishna. We don't want to know Krishna, it's called less intelligent. So, in the same way as knowledge means that which is in connection with the Lord, and ignorance means that which is not in connection with the Lord. So we see the result. It means the Vedic literature sees a complete picture. You don't judge something just by it itself. You have to see its application, what the results it gives. You know, all these things have to be considered. Then you can say this is knowledge or this is ignorance. Because if its goal is Krishna, it's knowledge. It's devotional service. If its goal is not Krishna, then it's ignorance. It's material. Like that, very, very simple. So then the essence of all the Vedic knowledge is devotional service. The source of all the knowledge. Because the material world has come from the Lord. So therefore, that means the culmination of all bodies of knowledge are the Lord. Because they've all come from Him. So they all, since they've come from Him, their conclusions are in Him. So these kind of thing is spoken by Hayagriva. So when Dadichi took the head of a horse, then it was quite fitting. That's why the Kumaras picked the head of a horse rather than something else.
In his statements, like when you get initiated, learn by a spiritual master, at that point you become liberated. You know, different statements by chanting, chanting in. What is the difference between here where you hear Jivan Mukta liberated in his life and then just anyone, another devotee is just
liberated? Can you hear? Can you hear? He was saying is that it's said that when you get initiated by the bona fide spiritual master, one becomes liberated. So is there any difference, or what is the difference between that liberation and here where it's talking about Jivan Mukta from the Ashwini Kumaras? So liberation has many, many levels. You know, just down to, you know, it's like a fly is bothering you and finally the fly goes away, so you're liberated from that, you know, difficulty. So here, then, from initiation, since what's happening is you've established the connection, the sambandha, then one is liberated in that one's relationship has now been established that we are servants of the Lord. So that is liberation. We're liberated from the material bondage of this is our identity. Because in the material world, you know, we have our material parents, material names, material places of birth, all the different things that are there, our conditioned nature. So we're bound by these things, the prarabdha karma. So we are liberated from that as an identity, that is us. And then we are situated on the platform where we understand we are servants of the Lord. But now we have to realize this. So that is through the process of devotional service. So the first, that is just the ritual to connect us, to establish. But then we have to apply it. So we see the Ashwini Kumaras, then by hearing these, says, therefore the mantras are called, after obtaining the mantras of spiritual science from Dadichi, the Ashwini Kumaras became Jivan Mukta. So by the process of hearing and applying in the life, then they became Jivan Mukta, they became realized. So the first is the situation, but one may realize it or one may not realize it. Just like devotee becomes initiated, but then they still maintain so many material attachments, and they may forget about their relationship with the Lord. But here means they heard, they realized. So from realizing, then they became Jivan Mukta. So that means in this life they were liberated from the material bondage. That making sense? Jivan Mukta and Brahma Mukta, yes, they're the same. Anything else?
Sanjay Bhakrani's class a few days ago, he was talking about emotions.
Talking about emotions.
Yeah, how we should be trying to be emotional and express our emotions, consciousness. But then in the Bhagavad Gita we read things like, you know, one must restrain these senses, he must be ever wise, you know, he must remain aloof from happiness and therapy, he doesn't take part in it. It seems like completely you should restrain yourself. A lot of Bhagavad Gita just says, restrain yourself, don't become elated when it's a happy situation, don't become distressed when it's a sad situation. Whereas emotion means emotion, you break down and cry. So how can you understand this?
So Janayavas was, Prabhu was saying that a few days ago with Jayapataka Maharaj, he was making the point that the emotions can be shown, we should not be afraid of the manifesting of the various emotions in that. Then Janayavas Prabhu was pointing out in the Gita that mentions that one should restrain the senses, one should be equal poised, and you know, properly, all these different things, everything. So in other words, you're wondering which is more proper, the British culture or the American culture.
Should I keep a stiff upper lip?
Yes.
Let it all hang out.
Yes. So, please, there is. See, there's different levels of the emotions. Just like there's different levels of... Means, in other words, the emotional platform is basically in connection with the particular where the taste is coming from, where exchange or rasa is happening. So then, depending upon what platform that is happening at, then one will see various manifestations or non-manifestations. So that means we can have exchange, or there's rasa or the emotions connected with the senses. Then there's connection with the platform of religious duties and social exchange. And then there's the spiritual exchange on that platform. So the Gita is talking about that the material, the senses must be controlled, so therefore all the emotions and that arise from that exchange should also be very much controlled. Otherwise then we see that someone has an attachment or something for a particular situation or you know, something that creates something, the senses with the sense objects, and this can get quite, you know, violent, you know, can get very strong. So that is recommended under all circumstances to be controlled. Then the manifestation of the senses, I mean the emotions in connection with duty, that is generally allowed to be shown more, because that gives rise to exchange between the various members of the community, family, and all this. It gives the religious duties are there to create exchange. Right? In a family or in a situation, exchange must be there. So, you know, husband has his duties, wife her duties, the children their duties, his parents they have duties. Then as a family, then they have their duties towards the rest of the family or the community. So it gives rise for exchange, and in a positive way. So that kind of emotion then is not a problem to be manifest. Then we have the spiritual exchange, which is based on the platform of love for Krishna. Then in the spiritual realm, or within the heart, that can be manifest, no problem. But it's recommended that externally it not be manifest. Otherwise, things will be taken cheaply or misunderstood. So it's basically just the activities of Dharma, the exchanges there, that are recommended to be manifest, and the others to be restricted. But even there, that platform, that is what was being manifest by Arjuna at the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita. His emotional outpouring for the duties in the family and what he had, duties towards the family members and towards the dynasty. You know, not even just the family members, but their particular dynasty, and as emperors of the world, how that will affect the whole world. Like this. So he was thinking on this emotional platform, on a very broad and very refined platform. But even then, our Krishna said he was foolish. Why? Because he was being Kripana. Because he wasn't engaging that according to Krishna's direction and to please Krishna. So even the manifestation of these emotional exchange should be in relationship to Krishna and emotional service. Then it becomes very, very nice. But as far as, like, you know, in exchange and interfacing with devotees on a very pleasant platform, that should always be there. One should not be afraid of that. You know, one's taking prasad together, one speaks nicely, has a pleasant time. These things, one should not be afraid of them, because it's in relationship to Krishna. It's Krishna's prasada. Krishna's prasada is very nice. The association of devotees is recommended and very nice. So if one enjoys that situation, that's not material. Like that. So in this way, just being very natural to show just natural emotions that are in connection with Krishna and the, you know, etiquettes and activities of devotional service, that should be manifest. You know, but to, you know, yell and scream about, you know, one's opinions or desires on this and that, that's not recommended publicly. You know, it may be done privately or in situations where someone can maybe help one come to terms with all these emotions or overcome these, or how to see them in light of Krishna consciousness. But they're not meant for just open social, you know, how you say, manifestation. They're not meant for that. But the natural social emotions, then according to time and circumstances, are naturally always to be shown. That's to be. Anything else? No? Okay, so Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda ki, Jainita Gaura Prema.